When Jesus was baptized, He was not a sinner. He didn't need to be saved. But when He was baptized, He was picturing His death, burial, and resurrection for us. When we're baptized, we are picturing our identification with His death, burial, and resurrection for us. Well, thank you, and what a joy to see you again. And we've been having a wonderful time discussing together what every Christian ought to know. Now, this is not everything that every Christian ought to know, because we ought to know it all. But these are just basic things that I believe are so important for the child of God to know to get a good start and to have a good base in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk with you about baptism. And I want to call our lesson Bible baptism, what you ought to know about baptism, not Baptist baptism, Bible baptism. Somebody says, well, that Baptist doctrine of immersion, it's not a Baptist doctrine. If we have any Baptist doctrine, we need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of Baptist doctrine, Methodist doctrine, Episcopalian doctrine, and Roman Catholic doctrine, and go to what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. So if what I tell you today is not in the Bible, then don't believe it. If it is in the Bible, say that is God's Word, and that's what we're going to stand on. Now, sometimes people say, well, baptism, that's just incidental. It really doesn't make any difference. Well, I want to destroy that philosophy in your mind, if that is your philosophy. Baptism is not incidental. It is fundamental. Don't ever minimize what God has maximized. You think of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a ministry of 3.5 years. How did He commence His ministry? By being baptized. How did He conclude His ministry? By commanding baptism, the Great Commission. He said, all authority is given unto Me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus commanded it. We're not to minimize something that Jesus taught so strongly about and emphasized so much. So I'm going to tell you why baptism is such an important doctrine in the Word of God. And I hope that God will write these things upon your heart. First of all, let's talk about the biblical method of baptism. People say, well, the Bible teaches all kinds of baptisms, sprinkling, immersion, pouring. No, it doesn't. There's one kind of water baptism taught in the Bible, and that is immersion. Let's see, for example, how Jesus Christ was baptized when He was baptized. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to see a picture of the baptism of Jesus. Mark chapter 1. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Do you know what Jordan is? It's a river. Now, Jesus was not baptized near or with Jordan. He was baptized in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water. Now, if He came up out of the water, where was He? Down in the water. Coming up straightway out of the water, He saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon Him. Black print on white paper makes it very obvious that Jesus was baptized by immersion. By the way, why did Jesus take this trip? The Bible says He came from Nazareth of Galilee to where John was in Jordan. Do you know how far that was? That's about 60 miles. I have made that trip. I've traveled there. It is not an easy journey. This was not a baptism of convenience. Why was John the Baptist down there baptizing where he was? I don't have to guess. I know why he was there, because the Bible tells us why he was there. Turn to John chapter 3 and verse 23, and you're going to find out why John the Baptist baptized where he baptized. Look at it. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there. Much water there. Now, if I baptized by sprinkling, I could baptize 7,000 people with a jug full. It takes a lot of water to baptize. Now, John was not baptizing down there because of the scenery. I've been down there. It's an ugly place. He was not baptizing because of the convenience. It was not convenient. Jesus made, as I say, a one-way trip about 60 miles down there to be baptized. The reason that John was baptizing down there, it takes a lot of water. Jordan is just a muddy river, but there was much water there. Sometimes it's inconvenient to baptize. I was in Kenya, out from Nairobi, and I went out on a mission trip to visit the Maasai. These tall native warriors. They own the cattle. They think that God gave them all the cattle in the world. They're great with the spears and so forth. And we went out there in the backlands in a Land Rover and saw the gazelles jumping, and saw the ostrich, saw the zebras and all of these exotic animals out there, ant hills about that high. And went further and further out there near the foot of Kilimanjaro into a little Maasai village. And there was where Missionary Jim Hooten was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here were these Maasai. And when they would get saved, they would baptize them. And there was no pond out there. And they had dug a pit. It looked exactly like a grave to me, and put some plastic lining in that grave. And then they brought water from that Land Rover and poured it in there. And those people were being baptized out there like in a grave, because baptism really pictures a burial. Now, why all of that difficulty? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier just take a canteen out and say, I baptize you and I baptize you? No, baptism is difficult sometimes. The first little church that I, first church out of seminary that I pastored, we would, in that church, we would have baptismal services. And we had a baptistry that had a small pipe, the water about the size of my thumb. The pipe was about the size of my thumb, and it took a long time to fill that baptistry to get enough water to baptize people. Well, I had announced that we were going to have a baptismal service on Sunday afternoon, and we had some people come from out of town. And when I went down there, folks, I looked in the baptistry. It was bone dry. The janitor had forgotten to turn on the water, and I knew that it would take all afternoon to get that baptistry filled. And I said, dear God, what am I going to do? I had a moment of inspiration. I called the fire department. And I said, do you specialize in emergencies? They said, yes. I said, I've got one. Well, I talked them into sending a pumper truck over there, and they filled that baptistry up lickety-split with rusty water. But anyway, I got the people baptized there. That would have been much easier to do it some other way. But it takes immersion to baptize. I remember the first person I ever baptized, I baptized in a creek down in Florida. Little church that I pastored as a college student, I led Willie Vereen to Christ, and she wanted to be baptized, a grown lady. I didn't know how to baptize. I hardly knew where to take hold of a person, but we went slithering down that muddy bank into that creek water, and I stood there and baptized Mrs. Willie Vereen there in Canal A outside of Fellsmere, Florida. What a joy that was. I can remember. For Florida, it was a little cold. I remember when her feet touched that water, she went, but then we went into that water and I baptized her. Now, folks, it's not convenient to baptize this way. Jesus went from Nazareth of Galilee down to the muddy old Jordan to be baptized. And why? John was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem because there was much water there. People are looking for convenience. I'm expecting some church to begin to take members in over the telephone and baptize the photograph. Look, we're not looking for a convenient faith. The very word baptize means immerse. Did you know that the word baptize is basically an untranslated word in your Bible? It's really a Greek word, and it means to immerse. And the reason it wasn't translated was this, that in 1611, when the King James Version of the Scriptures took the Scripture and put it from Greek into English under the aegis and orders of King James, the scholars, who were very good scholars, I preached from the King James Scripture, when they came to this word baptize, which literally means to immerse, it was used in ordinary language, not a religious word. A woman doing dishes would baptize her dishes. He immersed them. Two little boys out playing, one of them said, I'm going to dunk you. He'd say, I'm going to baptize you. Have nothing to do with religion. Just, I'm going to put you under the water. That's what the word means. It's just a plain, ordinary word, not necessarily a religious word. It now has religious significance. So, the Bible says that we are baptized, immersed. It's an untranslated word. Well, why didn't they translate it? When you read your word baptized, just know it hasn't been translated yet. It has been transliterated, taken from one language and put into another language. Well, why didn't they translate it? I'll tell you why. They were between the rock and the hard place. Because the king at that time, his church practiced sprinkling. And he was the one who said, translate the scriptures. Well, these scholars had a problem. If they took that word and translated it sprinkling, anybody who knew Greek would laugh them out of the kingdom. But on the other hand, if they translated it immerse, then it would be sort of an embarrassment, perhaps, to the king. So what you read in your Bible is an untranslated word. They just took the word baptizo and made a new English word out of it, baptize, and crammed it into the English language. And that's, so each time if you want to, when you're reading the word baptize, you can just do your own little translation in your mind. The word means to immerse. Luo means to pour, antizo means to sprinkle, baptizo means to immerse. It is, he doesn't use those other words. He only uses the word for baptism, which means to immerse. As a matter of fact, if you travel to Europe sometime, go to into some of the old cathedrals. I'm talking about Roman Catholic cathedrals built before the 13th century, and you'll find they have baptistries in them, like we have in our churches, pools where you can immerse people. So that's the way the followers of the Lord Jesus were immersed, I mean, were baptized. They were immersed in Bible times. I defy anybody to show me where sprinkling is taught as a form of baptism. It just simply is not. Let me give you another example of that, and then we're going to move on. We're just talking about the Bible method of baptism right now. In Acts chapter 8, there's the story of Philip who was out in the desert. He met an Ethiopian who was traveling. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way home, and Philip met him out there and led him to Christ, and the man got baptized. And here's how the story goes. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, this man, this eunuch, was the treasurer for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He's traveling by chariot. You know they had drinking water. You know they had bathing water. I mean, it wasn't that they needed a little cup full of water for a sprinkling service. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water. There was a pool there. And they said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. This is what we call believer's baptism. And I'm going to say more about that in a moment. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Now listen to this. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, I'm going to ask you to translate it for me. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he immersed him. See, you're already translating Greek. That's wonderful. And when they were come up, now listen to this. And when they were come up out of the water, if they came up out of the water, where had he been? Down in the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Point! Bible baptism is by immersion. That's all I'm trying to prove right now. That is the method. Not always convenient, but that is the method of baptism. Now, sometimes people say, but sprinkling is taught in the Bible. And they'll find somewhere where some ceremony, where there's the sprinkling of water and a sacrifice or the sprinkling of blood and so forth. Granted, the word sprinkling is used, but it has nothing to do with baptism. We're talking about baptism. We're not talking about some other ordinance or some other something. We're talking about baptism. Baptism is self-defining. It means immersion by its very nature. Now, so I've talked to you about the method of it. Now let's talk to you about the meaning of it. Because you're going to find out that the meaning and the method are inextricably interwoven. If you change the method, you destroy the meaning. The method and the meaning are bound together. baptism pictures the saving work of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. Baptism pictures the saving work of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Put it in your margin and listen to it. Paul says, "Therefore we are buried with Him," that is, with Jesus, "by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free, or freed from sin." Now in this passage, and I'm going to break it down in a moment and explain it a little bit by bit, but it says that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our death, burial, and resurrection with Him. Remember this, that baptism pictures and symbolizes the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we say we must adhere to the method, because if you change the method, you destroy the picture. Suppose you never had you've never seen my wife Joyce, and you say, "Well, Pastor, you married?" "Yes." "What's your wife like? Do you have a picture of her?" I say, "Yes, I do." "Would you like to see a picture of her?" "Yes." And so I reach in my billfold and I pull out a picture, and maybe I show you a picture of a racing car or a waterfall or a coffee table. and you say, "That's your wife?" "Well, any picture will do." "No. If it doesn't look like her, what? I mean, why should I say, give you a picture of a waterfall or a coffee table and say, 'There's my wife'?" It doesn't follow. It doesn't picture. Baptism is a picture of a death and a burial and a resurrection. You can't picture a burial by sprinkling a few drops of water on anybody's head. When you go under the water, that's a liquid tomb. We are buried with Him by baptism. When you come up out of the water, that pictures resurrection. We are raised to walk in newness of life. That is the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. Folks, that's the gospel. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. That's what baptism pictures. It pictures our identification with the Lord Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, He was not a sinner. He didn't need to be saved. But when He was baptized, He was picturing His death, burial, and resurrection for us. When we're baptized, we are picturing our identification with His death, burial, and resurrection for us. So there's a very real sense in which we both are pictures of the gospel. It pictures the finished death of Christ. Now, in this verse, we're in Romans, it pictures here our death with Him in verse 5. You were there in Romans chapter 6 in verse 5. It says that we are buried in the likeness of His death. That is, He died and was buried. Baptism is in the likeness of His death. The baptistry is a liquid tomb. And it's a funeral service. When I got baptized, it was just a funeral for the old Adrian. The old Adrian died, and that was the burial of the old Adrian. The only mourner was there was the devil. He hated to see me die. I was his good buddy. And so the old Adrian is dead and put beneath the water. And so when you die in this world, you say, "Goodbye, old world, goodbye." Well, that's what baptism pictures. That's the reason that you should never be baptized before you're truly saved. If you're baptized before you're saved, that would be like having your funeral before you die. When you're saved, you die to the old way and you become a new person. And so the Bible pictures believers' baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." First they received the word, then they were baptized. Acts chapter 10, verses 46 and 47, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? First you receive the Holy Ghost, then you're baptized. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 through 33. And Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. First he heard the word of the Lord, he believed on Jesus, and then he was baptized. So, when you're baptized, you're picturing your death with Jesus. That's first of all. But not only is the burial of Jesus pictured and your burial with him, but the resurrection of Jesus is pictured and your resurrection with him. Not only are you buried by baptism, but according to the scripture, you are raised again. Verse 4 says, we're raised to walk in newness of life. You see, it's not submersion, it's immersion. What's the difference? Submersion, you may not come back up. You like the difference. You go down, you're put under the water, and then you come up out of the water, raised to walk in newness of life. We say goodbye to the old world. We say hello to the new man. I have been delivered from my sin. My sin is buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness. Hallelujah. And I am a new person. And it also pictures not only my death with him, my resurrection with him, but it pictures my glorification with him. For verse 5 says, we'll be in the likeness of his resurrection. One of these days, I am going to have a body like the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is pictured in baptism. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for our sins and our identification with his death, burial, and resurrection. Now I want to ask you a question. If you were the devil and you could take any message out of the church, but only one, which one would you want to take out? The gospel. You don't have to think about it. The gospel. The devil doesn't care what you believe as long as you don't believe the gospel. So if the devil could destroy one message in the church, it would be the gospel. What is the one ordinance that teaches the gospel over and over and over again? It's baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The devil's done a slick job on some people to take that out of the churches, hasn't he? And so, you know, if I were to die and you haul me out the graveyard and say, well, there's an old pastor out there, let's bury him, and you put a few grains of sand on my head and left me to bake in the sun, that'd be a disgrace. You couldn't bury me with a few grains of sand. You can't bury me with a few drops of water. We are buried with him by baptism into death. So what is this about? It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Baptism pictures Calvary, it pictures Easter, it pictures Pentecost, it pictures the second coming, because just as I come up out of that water, the second coming of Jesus, though my body may be in the grave, I'm coming up out of that grave, just like I came up out of that water. These are the great doctrines that are taught by baptism. So what have we done? We have talked about the method, and I hope I've shown you that the method is by immersion. It's very clear from the way people were baptized in the Bible, they're baptized by immersion. I've showed you the meaning. It pictures the saving work of Jesus Christ. Now let's move to the third and final thing, and let's talk a little bit about the motive for baptism. Let me give you a threefold motive. First of all, there's a master to confess. We are identified with the Lord Jesus when we are baptized. Baptism shows that I am a new man and that I have a new master. It shows that I'm not ashamed of Christ. You think about it. When you get baptized in front of all of those people, you are saying, I believe in Jesus. In the Bible, the confession of faith was not walking down a church aisle. Sometimes they didn't even have church buildings. The confession of faith was believer's baptism. when you got baptized, you're saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I identify myself with His death, burial, and resurrection. I am not ashamed of Jesus. Now, baptism doesn't make you saved. And don't think that, that baptism saves you or even helps save you. That'd be a tragic mistake. But baptism pictures that. It shows that. It illustrates that. It's like this wedding ring. You see that ring? That ring does not make me married. I could be married and not wear it. Or some people might wear a ring and they're not married. It doesn't make you married. And the taking it off doesn't keep you from being married. But you know what that ring means? It means I'm not ashamed of Joyce. I'm not trying to fool anybody. I am a married man and I am a one woman man. I belong to that sweet girl. And this is just a symbol. This is just an emblem that I belong to her and I'm not ashamed of it. Baptism is just your way of saying, hey, I belong to Jesus Christ. I have been buried with Him. His death had my name on it. I have been raised with Him. His resurrection is the resurrection life that I'm living, and I belong to Him, His death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In a church, they had a children's church and the big church, what they call the big church, where the adults were. And in the children's church, they had boys and girls who were old enough to understand the gospel and get saved. They would give an invitation over in the children's church. And a little boy got saved in the children's church. And the children's pastor said, you go tell the pastor that you've been saved and you need to be baptized. Well, he went over to the pastor and he said, look, I have been saved. I need to get advertised. Well, I like that. That's what it is. I mean, you're getting advertised. You say, hey, look, I belong to Jesus Christ. So what is the motive for baptism? Number one, there is a master to confess. Number two, there is a message to convey. I have seen it so many times that when a person gets baptized, many times his friends and loved ones fall under conviction. It is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ without saying a word. It's a silent sermon. It's saying, look, I, by my baptism, I'm picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The old person I used to be is dead. I am giving myself to the one who had died for me. I'm no longer my own. This scripture says, I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Who would not want to preach that sermon before his loved ones? Who would not want to give that testimony if they're truly saved? You know, I'm convinced that some women don't want to get baptized because they don't want to mess up a $25 hairdo. You know, just some trivial thing. Or they just don't want to go through that ordeal when Jesus hung naked on a cross for them and died in agony and blood. No, there's a master to confess. There's a message to convey. And friend, there is a mandate to complete. Jesus did not request you to be baptized. He commanded you to be baptized. Listen to the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, if suppose I were to have a car and fall down right here and was trying to say something. He says he's dying. He's trying to say something. Listen to him. These are his last words. He must think this is important. Friend, Jesus is concluding his ministry. These are the last words before he goes back to heaven. Don't minimize what our Lord has maximized. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Acts chapter 10, when those Gentiles got saved, the Bible says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It's while baptism is not necessary to salvation, it is necessary to obedience. And obedience is necessary to joy and fruitfulness in the Christian life. And sometimes you might wonder, well, How come I can't understand more of the Bible? Why don't I have more power in my life? Oh God, teach me what this verse means. Lord, I don't understand this verse. Lord, teach me that verse. God says, I'm not going to teach you anything. Well, why not, Lord? Well, I already showed you about baptism. You wouldn't get baptized. Why should I show you anything else? Why should I give you any more light? Well, I haven't given you clear, plain light about this, and you refuse this? Listen, the Bible says, to him that hath shall be given, and to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. The way to understand the part of the Scripture you don't understand is to obey the part you do understand. And when you begin to obey what you do understand, you'll be surprised how much more new light will break into your life. Listen, there is a master to confess. There is a message to convey. There is a mandate to complete. God has commanded us to be baptized. And I can give you many scriptures that teach the commandment to be baptized. Now, again, I want to make it very clear. A baptism, whether a spoonful or tankful, can't take away sin. You can be saved anytime, any place. If baptism is necessary to salvation, then a man in the desert can't be saved. A man in an airplane couldn't be saved. A man in a submarine surrounded by ocean couldn't be saved because there's not enough water there to baptize him. No, anytime, anybody, any place calls upon Jesus in repentance and faith, they will be saved. And if you make baptism necessary, you have to take the whosoever out of the Bible. You just have to change it to say whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is fortunate enough to be near water and is fortunate enough to have a preacher around of my denomination shall be saved. No. The Bible says clearly, plainly, sweetly, sublimely, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But whenever possible and as soon as possible, you should be baptized. But never, never, ever mistake the symbolism, the wedding ring, for the marriage. I'll tell you this story. It's a true story. One of our denominational workers had his children in Washington. They'd gone to the Smithsonian, that great museum. If you've never gone there, you need to go there. And they were going through the part in American history, and they came to the place where the first ladies of the United States are, and they have these mannequins there. And the mannequins are the wax figures have special dresses that the ladies, the first ladies, have worn. It's a wonderful display. And this man was there with his children, and they were looking at Lady Bird Johnson. This is when Lyndon Johnson was the president of the United States. And they were looking at the first lady, Lady Bird Johnson. And as they stood there and they were talking, they noticed a lady standing beside them, and they turned and looked, and it was Lady Bird Johnson. She had come to see the dress. They were so thrilled. They thought, this is the most wonderful thing. Look here. She's right here with us. And we're looking at this. And their visit to Washington. This was so great. You know how those times happen. And then here's what happened. A man came with a camera. And they were standing there. And this man said, folks, and said, would you mind just stepping aside a little bit? I want to get a picture of Lady Bird. He was just talking about the wax figure. She was standing right there. And he says to her, would you move, please? would you get out of the way? I want to get a picture of Lady Bird. You think about it. Don't ever substitute the emblem and the symbol for the reality. It's not baptism that saves. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves. And so let's remember the reality that this pictures. But let's never forget the importance of Bible baptism. Father, seal this to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't miss next week's lesson, How to Handle Temptation.
Against the world, faith. Fall in love with Jesus. Against the flesh, flight. Get out of there. And against the devil, fight. You resist him, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.